And is back. That's not English. It's not English at all. This is why I don't do radio. Because by hour three, it would be like, that's how we did it. For it, because that's what it is. Podcast Wolverines Unlocked. Every day, your team it is. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire, through USA Today Sports Media Group, in the second of the two for Tuesday, two for Thursday. See, this is done. Shut it down. It's over. I've lost my mind, and I haven't even hit the treadmill yet. So, anyway, we did the first episode. It got a little bit like that by the end. This will be hopefully a lot more together. And let's get right to the mailbag, because that's where we're at. That's what everyone's here for every week. Starting with our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6. I kind of pre-read this like literally 5 seconds ago, and I dread this. But if you could ask Jim Harbaugh 3 questions and he had to tell the honest truth, what 3 questions would you ask him? Know if I have 3, because here's the thing, I am so conditioned, and I'm pretty sure everyone in the media is kind of like this, to know what he will and won't answer to some degree. So I almost can't even think of outside of like, just what are your honest thoughts of, okay, what are your honest thoughts on the state of the team? Where do you feel like the team is in respect to the Ohio State rivalry? And do you have a finger on the pulse of what hasn't worked in your tenure in Ann Arbor and how to fix it? I guess I came up with that pretty quickly. So wasn't the debacle I thought it was going to be. But it could have been. Could have been a debacle. Wasn't, though. But yeah, I think I want an honest, like, especially, I mean, all of those things, but especially, like, just tell me how you feel about what's going on right now. Because I feel like it's always like every year is better than the last, but we don't see the results that way. You know what I mean? Josh Barajetiki, swap a single player on the basketball team for one on the football team. Which players do you pick and what positions would they play? Of course, you ask this after Isaiah Livers is gone, because that would have been easy. Okay, obviously I'm putting Ronnie Bell on the basketball team. That's happening. As much as it would suck to lose his production at wide receiver, because I feel like he's really going to break out this year even more than he kind of already has. No, he's probably the best. He's the self-proclaimed best basketball player on the team. I mean, there are others out there that are like Andrell Anthony, who are really, you know, really good at basketball, but I'm going to go with the guy I think is probably the best basketball player on the team. Although, you know, really inclined to add like a super behemoth, but they don't really have like a 7-foot type guy, so I guess it doesn't really matter. Would have loved to see, like, Tyrone Wheatley Jr. As far as what basketball player would I take off and put on the football team? That one's a little harder now without Isaiah Livers being there. I could see Eli Brooks being a pretty good receiver, honestly. I mean, dude can jump. Jude is shorter than me and can dunk. So that's something. That's some athleticism. Plus, he looks like he's gotten really built. But otherwise, I think I'd kind of, like, I guess we're just staying with like tight end receiver types. I mean, Brandon Johns looks like he could maybe be a decent receiver. I don't know if he's bulked up enough to be like a tight end like Isaiah Livers was. Yeah, I think that would be it. I think Brandon Johns or Eli Brooks would be my choices there. I don't know what Devontae Jones looks like. As far as that's concerned, like, I've seen pictures of him, but I mean, like, I want to see him in person to be able to really gauge. It's a fun question, though. My brother Metal Michael Wolf at MWolf21. What will the environment be like with fans back? Will there be a new appreciation and a lot of noise or golf crowd? Dude, you know the answer to that is golf crowd. I've been harping on the golf crowd forever. And on top of it, fans just aren't excited right now. That's what I've been trying to tell you guys. Get excited. No matter what happens, still, football is back. That's a great thing. But no, I think it's going to be a golf crowd. I hope I'm wrong. I hope people show up in droves. Maybe a lot of the people that the blue blood type people that would blue hairs more, the blue hairs that would come and say down in front and sit, you know, and shut up and all that stuff, which when I went as a fan, 2013 Ohio State game, I had that happen in like moments when it's like, hey, Ohio State is backed up to the goal line because we were on like the goal line, you know, or not the goal line, but like the back corner of the end zone in the southwest end zone. I don't know section numbers there, but we were like 13 rows up or so. We're all screaming, you know, trying to be loud and told, hey, sit down, shut up. What? No. Like, do you not understand what's going on here? If you can't get loud against Ohio State, then don't be there. So maybe some of those people have been weeded out. I hope, for the sake of the environment. If you could get, like, make the whole thing a student section, oh, man. The Big House would be rip-roaring the entire time. It'd be incredible. I had no idea how quiet it was in Michigan Stadium. I guess I did as a student because I just remember when I worked the 2007 Minnesota game for ESPN Classic and moving down from the student section, just kind of getting to traverse the sidelines, just being shocked at how not loud it was compared to the student section. Now I see it all the time because I'm on the sidelines, but yeah, probably golf crowd. You would hope there'd be a new appreciation. If they start out really good, then there will be louder. But for the most part, no, golf crowd. Writer for Wolverines Wire, Trent Noop at Trent Noop. What Michigan game excites you the most this year? Would have said Washington, but I got to sit next to you up in the press box. Only half kidding. Not kidding not kidding in the sense of me being in the press box. That's not an against you thing. That's me not being in the sidelines. Because I'd prefer to be on the sidelines for that one. But Washington excites me. But, like, seriously, like, I would rather be on the sidelines. So that's a personal thing. But I think that matchup excites me for the sake. It's early season. Anything can happen. Outside of that, it's hard to go in conference. Except for, like, Penn State, if it's a night game. Yeah, I want it to be a night game because I like Penn State night games, even though it makes, you know, get very sleepy. So I think those two really good barometers, especially because Penn State comes 2 weeks before Ohio State. So not a knock against you, Trent. I was trying to make a joke. My words aren't working for me today. It's been a long day. Anyway, finishing us out in segment one, Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner one. Name one surprise player for football and basketball. Well, Mozzie's not a surprise anymore, unfortunately. I just spent a long time talking about Zach Sinter and football on the offensive side, so I don't know that's a surprise either. I've talked a lot about how I think Jamon Green's really good, so I don't know if he's necessarily a surprise. I mean, is it cheating to say Daylon Baldwin on the offensive side? Or, I mean, Donovan Edwards, just for the sake of, like, I don't think people understand just how good he is going to be. You know what, I'll say Luke Schoonmaker, because I think he's going to just see a much bigger role now that Eubanks is gone. And I think he's going to come seemingly out of nowhere. Basketball, Brandon Johns, because I think he's going to end up having like a... It's not going to necessarily be Isaiah Livers who, but I think it's going to be like, whoa, where has this been? Somebody with Brandon Johns. Number two, the Washington game has been named a maze out. Will there be another maze out? If so, what are the candidates? There's usually only like one a year. The only other one I could think of is Ohio State, but that's not going to be a maze out. It could be too cold. Usually it has to be like relatively early in the year because people don't all have maze coats and people aren't going to not wear coats to the cold weather games. So, I mean, it's obviously not going to be Rutgers early on. They don't really have any other really big home games until Ohio State. Because they play Michigan State on the road, Penn State and Wisconsin on the road. So there really aren't any other ones. So I think that is probably just that one. All right, we have to move on. We've got plenty more to go with, so let's get to that. But first, rockauto.com. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique. It's also remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brands, the specifications, and the prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, now that we've gotten through the leaders and best, we got the victors valiant. So many things here. It's going to take up the bulk of our time. Then we have a few at the end. Some would have normally probably been up in this section, but had to have more than like two questions in the latter part. So whatever. Jim at Jim in the North. Is it possible Mike Hart might be an heir apparent? I mean, it's possible. I mean, dude was an associate head coach at Indiana. I think it's probably in his blood to kind of do that, but I don't want to say that, you know, like things better go really well for him, like continue to go well. Like if things fall apart at Michigan, unless like everything looks bad except for the running backs, and the running backs look awesome, then I mean, yeah, maybe he's an immediate heir apparent, but I mean, yeah, I could see him down the line getting that, but I don't know. Mark Z at Mark Zimke. Can you please give us your thoughts, positives and negatives, on off-season versus game day official visits? I feel like it may come down to risk slash reward for game day. Thanks. I don't think like what happens on the field is necessarily a bad thing for game day visits. I think you really want to try to show the atmosphere, what it's like to run out there and whatever. But like, I don't think, I mean, sometimes. I can't say it's never the case, but like you've seen how it works. Even just like now, this wasn't someone who visited because they couldn't have visited, dead period. But like for instance, like the game day, like what happened, you know, the result on the field. Like Rashawn Benny committed to Michigan State after that because it was like, yeah, they look like the better team, and then he ends up flipping back to Michigan. You know, like it's. I think what happens in, you know, one head-to-head matchup is really overrated. I think it's good to get guys on campus so that they can see. Now the big thing that I think that probably happens for off-season visits that's better is I feel like there's more attention that's able to be put into an actual visit. Now they still hope, like they have official visits during the season, and that's a little bit different, I think, in a way compared to like just a guy coming to a game like that's interested. You know, they're going to roll out a red carpet for like any big name regardless. But I feel like if it's like if they are able to come visit right now, you're going to be able to get a lot more attention paid to you than if you go when there's a bunch of other people. And oh, by the way, there's a game to be played. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think that that's probably the big thing is, but I mean, it's probably very similar in the sense of like they're going to get teamed with a current player and they're going to have similar festivities. I think that the positive for the off season is maybe just more in terms of like just personal interaction. Whereas game day, the bigger positive is you get to kind of visualize what it would be like to actually run out of that tunnel in front of 110,000 people and touch the banner, you know? KRT at Farmark 84. Which game with lower tier Big Ten teams, Rutgers, Maryland, Nebraska, will end up being the most difficult? Maryland. I think Maryland, I think, is the biggest trap game in the entire season. Because Rutgers is the Big Ten opener. It's at home. Cool. After Wisconsin, Nebraska's on the road. So they have two straight road games. RIP my bank account. But I think that the thing is with Nebraska, it's regardless of what happens at Wisconsin, I think that's going to end up being like, say they lose at Wisconsin, which is what I predicted. Don't let the same team beat you twice. They're going to have to be focused against Nebraska. Maryland is sandwiched between Penn State and Ohio State, and it's a second straight road game again. Man, so many back-to-back road games. I don't remember that always happening. I mean, yeah, I guess like 2015 and 2017 were at Indiana, at Penn State, back-to-back both times, but it's a lot of travel. Maryland, I think, is going to be scary, dangerous. Talia Tagovailoa, I think, is really good. I think Maryland's got a ton of dudes. It just hasn't come together yet. And it's a road game. That's the week before Ohio State. That's tough. You heard what Andy Staples said. Which game with higher-ranked teams, Washington, Wisconsin, Penn State, Indiana, might go better than most people think? I mean, I think Michigan's going to beat Indiana. I don't think Indiana's going to be... I think they'll be really good, but I think that they're going to be, like, the next tier below where, like, I think they'll come back down to earth a little bit, you know? I think Michigan has a really good chance of beating Washington. I think did I predict it? I don't remember. I don't remember what games I predicted anymore. Penn State, I think, like, again, I don't think that they're that great. I predicted them to win 10 games, but I don't think they're that great. Wisconsin, to me, is the hardest one out of all of them. I don't think Wisconsin's that great necessarily. So, in a way, I'm saying all of them. It doesn't mean they're going to win all of them. They might win, lose all four of those. And the only one I think that would be a true full-on disappointment would be Indiana. But, yeah, anyway. Brandon at Brandon S616. Is it fair to say that Michigan is often held back by its alumni base? It seems like the majority of alumni aren't open to new things, expected to be how it was in the Bo days. Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, it's part of why Rich Rod didn't work. I mean, not fielding a defense was a big part of it, but, I mean, from the beginning, so many of the former players, people in the administration, were gunning for Rich Rod. They wanted Brady Hoke to come in and clap. So, sorry if there's any Brady Hoke players listening. But I think Michigan is kind of way too beholden to the Michigan man thing. I cringe a little bit when I hear it now. Because it's just like, man, I don't think Alabama's doing it that way. Lord knows that Ohio State isn't. Like, adhere to like your core traditions and your core values, but like, don't make everything like, it doesn't have to be whoever coaches here had to have had the closest of ties. Now, Jim Harbaugh was a slam dunk. That's not what I'm saying. But like, even like with Brady Hoke, when he came, it was like, well, he coached here in a while. I mean, he had a good resume in the MAC and at San Diego State, but you know, like the reason why Rich Rod got pushed out is because he had no connection to Michigan. And I understand, like, you want someone to understand your core traditions. And it kind of seemed like Rich Rod didn't. But people made a big deal out of handing out the number one jersey to a non-wide receiver like it was the most sacrilegious thing you could do, only for us to see Ambry Thomas wear number one, nobody batted an eye. Or even Kakoa Crawford. You know what I mean? Continuing with camp starting soon, are you looking forward to talking to coaches or players more, and why? Coaches, and it's because two reasons. We don't know a lot of these coaches. Like, I just laid eyes on Mike McDonald in person for the first time today. So I want to know their personalities. I don't know. Is Steve Klinkscale going to be like Mike Zordich, who was the best interview on the team in his tenure? Is, we already know Sharon Moore, but like now that he's not tight ends, is he going to be as open as and insightful as Ed Warner was at the position? Does Mike Hart remind me of Tyrone Wheatley in the way he talks about running backs? I've talked to Mike Hart when we were students together, and again at the that hotel in Bloomington. But I haven't talked to him like in an on the record capacity, so that'll be interesting. Ron Bellamy, I'm curious. I've interviewed Ron Bellamy when he was head coach at West Bloomfield. You know, so it'll be different with him wearing Michigan stuff. You know, like, how does he talk about, you know, how does he speak in that case? George Hilo, I barely know what the dude looks like. So, and finishing us out, Matt Weiss, like, I think that guy could have been a head coach sooner than later, or at least an offensive coordinator, probably within a year if he would have stayed in the NFL. So I just want to see how these people are. The other thing is I don't feel like Michigan player-wise has many bombastic characters at this moment. Aiden's the closest one, but there's no like Chase Winoviches on this team right now. The guys that are just going to like, when I think back to like 2016, man, that team was full of them. It's like, Chase was on that team, but I mean, granted, we weren't really talking to Chase Winovich. That was when he kind of started to emerge, 2016. But like, there was a number of guys where it was like, man, you're getting this guy. This is awesome. I mean, 2015 too, but I'm thinking of like Drake Johnson. Man, Drake Johnson was an interview. But on top of that, Kyle Kalis and Eric Magnuson were crazy in the best way. Jordan Lewis always had something awesome to say. He was so much fun. Then you had Jabril, you had Rashawn. I mean, Rashawn was still a baby at that point. Hadn't really become the Rashawn Gary we came to know and love, but I mean, and then on top of it, like Wilton Spate was a really good interview. Like, wasn't bombastic, but was really insightful. Right now, I can't think of like Aiden's the closest to that type of mentality. I can't think of anyone else that's like that. I mean, Josh Ross is a really insightful interview. But, yeah. So, that's why. Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156. Which games will Michigan wear alternate uniforms this season? If you had to guess, Washington. I think all blue and a maize uniform are both coming. Probably. All blue will, I think, be the Washington game. Maize, all maize. I could see that being Penn State, maybe. I mean, any of the Penn State. It's going to be like Penn State or Wisconsin, unless like Nebraska goes with an alternate uniform for the Michigan game, right? Then maybe something like that. But yeah, I think you're going to see both. That's just my gut feeling with it. Ryan at IM3LAC. I know only time will tell, but how good do you believe Cade will actually be? Well, the thing I think about Cade McNamara is that he has his leadership in spades. And Josh Gattis kind of said today, flat out, he's like, you can just see the way the team rallies around him. So with that in mind, I think the team will be playing for him if he is the starter. And I'm going to go with, I don't remember which one of you said it, but one of you said it in the mailbag 2 months ago that he seems like he has a little Shea Patterson to his game. I could see him being a more productive Shea Patterson if he doesn't have the issues that Shea had, which is he's not going to be shackled by an offense that wants to run the ball first, number one. And if he doesn't get injured early in the season, number two, I think he can have more of the career that we expected Shea to have. That's what I'm going to say. Two of the same. Spencer Whitmore at Spencer Whitmore. Mays out announced for Washington game. Over under that the stadium is 60%. Or over under that 60% of the stadium actually does it. Eyeball test with a man face palming emoji. Wolverine devotee at Wolverine devots one. You think the plan Mays out against Washington will help home field advantage? Feel like people haven't bought in fully in the past. To go along with my golf crowd. Under 60% of the stadium with the Mays out. That's what I'm going with. Probably helps that it's a night game because it's going to be a younger crowd at that point. I'm going to stay with my under. I hope I'm wrong. And with that in mind, no, I don't think it will help home field advantage. But here's the thing. I remember going to one of the basketball game Mays outs, and they put shirts on all of the seats. And I still saw plenty of Michigan fans that just refused to put them on and were still wearing whatever blue-colored whatever they were wearing. Now, by the end of the game, a lot more people were wearing them, but it was still like they gave you a shirt. It was on your seat. You took the shirt and you put it, like, in your bag or something like that. Like, oh, cool, free shirt. Sweet. As smart as we pretend to be... With all things, you know, it's like, the University of Michigan. And, we are the best university in the world. I did it very bad. Like, not at all Darth Vader. But nonetheless, like, for all of that, like, really dumb when it comes to fan participation. It's like my high school, when my graduating class in high school, they gave out the award for like most spirited class when they like sang the class song at the very last assembly of every single year. But like our class sat down and did not do it. So we didn't win it because we were just like, we're not, but that's like Michigan fans. Anyway, finishing us out in segment two, Zach at Zach Woodruff 3. Do you think fans may end up having to show proof of vaccination or wear masks? Proof of vaccination, no. Wear masks, probably. I mean, I shouldn't say probably. Strong, maybe. Just kind of given everything that's going on with the Delta variant. Do I think it will start with masks on and end with masks off? I think that's probably a strong possibility. But proof of vaccination, I don't think that it would come to that. I think that would be a cluster. I just don't think that's going to come to that. All right. BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. College football is going to be back within the month. Major League Baseball is still going. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, with real-time updated odds, props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. So head over to betonline.ag to sign up today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, we got four more. Let's knock these out. As I am loopy, and I still have to hit the treadmill, which probably make me less loopy once it was all done, but whatever. I'm Patman at the_GD_Patman. With the amount of recruiting targets that seem to be passing Michigan by recently, do you see the next class finishing in the top 10? I can see it, but do I think it will? I don't know. I think you've got to hit on some of your bigger targets that are still out there, which would really go a long way, I think, to getting points, which is what you're looking for. But let's take a quick look together, shall we? Obviously, Walter Nolan is the one that I have my eye on, because if you can get him, then you're gonna get a lot of points. I mean, Michigan's sitting at 13th right now. With how many commitments? 15? So you figure you're going to add 10 more. Like, Penn State's number one, but they've got like 24 guys committed right now. So that doesn't really count for anything. But like, say like Michigan's able to get Walter Nolan, I still wouldn't be surprised if they flipped Damani Jackson. I mean, they might try to get back in it with Jaheim Singletary, who decommitted from Ohio State. Seems like everything went really well with Josh Connerly. They're not going to get all those guys, but like, I could see them getting 2 5-stars, and that would get them up into the top 10 if they got 2 more 5-stars out of those people. Oscar Delp is a guy that Michigan's still really in it for. I know they're after Ephesians Prysock, the cornerback, 4-star cornerback from Mission Hills, California. See, I'm trying to see if there's anyone else there. So those are really the names. I mean, there's other guys like Deion Walkers. Seems like he's a Michigan, likely Michigan commit. Some other guys might get a bump, like Miles Pollard. I could see, like, Miles Pollard's not a 3-star, right? I could see, like, Miles Pollard, Jaden Denegal, and Tayshaun Trent all getting bumps, getting up there a little bit higher. I could see Cody Jones getting up there a little bit higher as far as their rankings, and that would help. But, yeah, I think that that's the big thing. And when you look at some of these schools that are ahead of Michigan right now, just like I said, Michigan's 13th. I mean, a lot of these schools are doing really well. Michigan's got an average star rating of 88.72. I think they'll move up above 90. But they're not going to get up. I mean, some of these schools are just recruiting like ridiculous. Like Ohio State's 4th now, but 93.98 with 14 commitments. I mean, that's huge. But they might finish outside of the top 10 in this one. Because it seems like some of the schools ahead of them are the ones that have a lot of juice. Texas A&M, Oregon, Texas, Clemson. Florida State seems like it's probably going to drop out a little bit. Oklahoma's recruiting really well. I don't feel like Oklahoma's necessarily... Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't feel like Oklahoma's always necessarily that high in recruiting rankings. I mean, they were 10th last year, I guess, so... I would say I would probably bet on Michigan finishing about right where it is at 13th. But I feel like they'll get at least one more 5-star, and that will help bolster where they're at. Enchanted Pants at Enchanted Pants. Whose fans have it best or worst? Michigan, Texas, or Auburn? I think Auburn. What? Auburn has it best because they've won a national championship in, like, very recent memory. Pre-college football playoff, but they've been there. They've beaten Alabama in very recent memory. Texas is in the middle right now. They're going to have it the worst eventually. Because once they get in the SEC, I think, like, they need that lead up, man. They need to dominate the Big 12 one way or another before they go to the SEC. Otherwise, they're just going to be nothing. Like, if they go to the SEC next year, Texas is just never... We're going to just say goodbye to Texas. So long. Farewell. You had a good run. You're never coming back out of mediocrity. Worst is Michigan. Because Michigan hasn't beaten Ohio State, hasn't beaten its rivals since 2011. Hadn't beaten them since 2003. Since then, two big rivals. I mean, Texas has two big rivals in Oklahoma and Texas A&M, but they don't play Texas A&M. They will again soon, but Michigan has two big rivals. And really three, but Notre Dame, we won't see them forever. And yeah. Always gets negative media attention. Texas always, no matter how bad Texas is, the next year, yeah, Texas, they're back. Doesn't happen that way with Michigan. Turkey Bird American Football at VT00SM or OOSM, I don't know. What is the scheme Michigan is trying to run on offense, pro spread? Should they prioritize offensive linemen and be more 60-40 run pass? Seemed to have an overly unnecessarily complex offense. No, it's just a modern offense. It's what you see in college football. I wouldn't be surprised if it's more 60-40 run pass just based off of the offensive line, but I think you want to eventually, because of modern college day football, be the other way. With the Michigan brand and Harbaugh recognition, why has he struggled with developing a quarterback? I think that's an overwrought narrative to some degree. I think Jake Rudock eventually ended up fine. I think Wilton Spate was really good before his injury. So you're kind of talking post that. Shea Patterson was fine. Like, he wasn't the five-star we thought, but yeah. Finishing us out, Jeffrey the Greek at Jeffrey the Greek. Who's making the big plays in the passing game? The quarterback. That's all I got. Don't know what else you want. Cade, maybe, possibly, probably. All right, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow with more thoughts. Creed Thoughts at creedthoughts.com/creedthoughts. Thanks for listening. Peace.